Am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah, so just this is my third time coming. Really, we love it here. I was with the Clarkston Group for 9 years, and my job had moved our family to Alabama. It didn't go too far, but just the travel, hour and a half for church, and where I had to live in different states. So in a little town called Gordo. You drive through it if you're coming to Mississippi, but you know, anyway. But yeah, we're trying to get our group from Gordo to come here too as well and team up with Clarkston. So we're hoping that will work in the future. But like I said, I really love it here. And so we've been blessed this week to be a part of the mission week, working with Phil and Seth and all the guys. And I'll just real quick, before I even talk about anything. So Seth told me that I could get out of here, like y'all want to get out of here quick. So now Phil told me not to listen to Seth. So, but then Seth said that if they let Phil preach, then surely I can at least y'all listen to me if they listen to Phil every week. So there's been back and forth. I don't know who to believe. So, you know, but yeah, we're excited to be here. Just a little bit of kind of what we've done this week, really kind of getting the message. This is the first time that since we've been coming here that we actually got to go to the Men's Life House and pour into them and just listen to them and their testimonies, Jeremy and David and Wally, Austin, man, we got to meet with them and love on them. And so just some great testimonies that come out of that. We were blessed. Y'all blessed us just to be a part of that and just, you know, just kind of be fellowship with you guys. So it was an awesome time. You know, and as you work all day, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, you know, you just, should we go? And Seth, he wouldn't answer his phone. So, you know, of course. So I get there and Seth's like, oh, yeah, Kerry texted me. So, but y'all know Seth. So y'all know how that goes. So anyway, we won't elaborate on that. So, but, you know, as I was studying, and that was another thing, when I was coming up with our group, from Alabama, I asked Phil, you know, about Wednesday night, and he said, yeah, if you want to preach, you can. Well, then our group didn't come, and I didn't call Phil, and he knew I was coming to Clarkston, and I guess he just thought I would. So when he got here, I asked him, and he's like, oh, I thought you already were. So here we are. So, but yeah. But one of my favorite, and you know, like I said, I was with our youth group a long time, and some of the older ones know probably what book we're going to go to for a little while. Any takers over there? James. Yes. So, chapter 2. We're going to go, we'll be in there and we'll kind of float around a little bit. But James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, we're going to be there for the most of it. But, again, you know, here I just want to reiterate that, man, what happens at New Life here, y'all are a part of something great, and we're just honored to be a part of it too, the meal ministry, to the Life House, to everything. And I just always think it's awesome the way that Brother Jimmy thinks that if y'all have something, then it needs to be used, you know, the stewardship. And so and if something ain't working, we need to tweak it, you know. You're not afraid to do that. It's great that we can take that back to our churches too. And like I said, I get fired up every time we get to come up here. So we're blessed for sure. But you know, as I was studying and getting ready, a lot of things were coming to my mind as we had heard some great testimonies this week about, you know, brokenness and fear and how faith and the what ifs and all things were kind of, you know, fighting with each other. And but it comes back to action, I think, that we have to have action. And it tells, James talks about it in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, what is good? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So as we look, at what James is telling us here, and verse 17 always sticks out to me, and when I started in the youth ministry, that always stuck out to me. You know, if we're faith, all of us can say we're going to do something. All of us can talk about it, but can we walk the walk day in and day out? Is it easy? No, but God calls us to action every day. And it's not just something that we can do once a week on Sunday and on Wednesday. It's a daily grind that we have to be, that we have to know that that's what He wants. So just like here, and again, this reminds me of what New Life is about. You know, if needs come up, y'all try to meet them immediately. We've been a part of that. Last year we had a guy that needs, that really, he got saved at the Mill Ministry one night. And it was a blessing for our group to be a part of that and see that and love on him. And before we left, there was a place for him. And, you know, sometimes when that happens in the path he went, then, you know, he's still suffering those consequences. And that's okay, because we planted those seeds and we were a part of that, and y'all were a part of that. There was action. It wasn't just faith and waiting for somebody else to do something. We reached out and you touched him. And like I said, you know, sometimes we don't always see the fruit, but we know we're planting that seed. It's gonna grow. But it comes back down to love, I think. And it says in 1 John 4:19 that because we love, the only reason that we can even love is because He first loved us. There's nothing that we did. And I think a lot of the time that we get in the way of what God can do. We just get in the way. We try to think about what we're going to do, how we're going to do things, how we're going to handle things, what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do the next day. That's not lining up with our faith. So, you know, once you give your life to Christ, I'm going to jump to Philippians real quick and read Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this, that who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. When you give your life to Christ, God's working on you until He calls you home. And we have to know that. And we have to claim that. Because that's powerful. Because God's powerful. And just like we've heard some testimonies this week of how God works, and He's still working. We heard one last night. This man right here, he's still working. And you're right. Every day. You're not going to stop. He's not going to stop. We have to believe that. But God's going to show up and He's going to show out. But sometimes we miss the mark of doing our part. So we have to do our part. Communication with Christ daily, making that a number one priority. Waking up every day and thanking Him for what we got. There's a lot of things in this world that we take for granted. We're still blessed with what we have. In other countries that are just doing without every day, and we wake up and we get a chance to go and tell somebody about Christ. God's going to do His part. God's going to show up. We got to do our part. In this world today, like, it goes back to Romans 12:2, I think, where it tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a daily thing. That's a daily grind. I tell my youth, that's a daily grind. One of my youth, he's not here, but he always knew, get your mind right. every day. Wake up. Being ready to go and tell somebody about Jesus. We're going to fail. Because guess what? Satan's out there attacking daily. He wants to get in your head. He wants to get in your thoughts and tell you you don't have to do that. He wants to tell you that. And there's a phrase that goes along with Satan and how he wants to work and how he gets in your thoughts and how he wants to twist things around and make it feel like that the things that you think are good or shouldn't bother you, he's going to put that still, that voice in your head, and if you let him, and it says if you dance with the devil, he'll take the lead. Y'all believe that? If you dance with the devil, he'll take the lead. The next thing you know, you'll be going down a track and a path that is going into destruction. So that's why that when Paul is talking in Romans to be transformed, not to be conformed, because it's easy to be conformed. It's easy to be conformed to what the world wants you to be. The world wants you to mess up. Satan wants you. And when he's got you, it's never good. But thankfully, what evil meant for harm, God can turn that around to good every single time. And he will. That's the good news. But going back to action, it takes all kind of action. You know, but that was our thing, and I still live by that. It's my favorite verse. I got that on my email at work. And how I got that by my boss, I don't know, but I did. He ain't fired me yet, so 10 years in, still good, hopefully. But faith without action is dead. So that means move. There's all kinds of action. And I'm not talking about just, you know, sometimes we can't go places. Some groups can't come here. Sometimes you can't go other places. But doing our part, praying, that's an action. Your prayer life, every day. Listening. You know, that's what we had a chance to do at the men's life house these last 2 days. We just listened. Just listen sometimes. Stepping out of your comfort zone. That's what fires me up when I get to come here, because we get to bring the youth here. And sometimes when they're back home, they come here. They don't know anybody. And they can, at the mill ministry, they can go and they can tell and they can sit down and fellowship and minister. Tell them about Jesus. What a great way to come out of your comfort zone. Because Jesus is going to do the work. All you got to do is plant the seed. Show up. Have the faith. Just saying that you know God. Just saying that God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And you don't believe it, then there's a problem. Listen to God. Ask for direction. Don't just sit back and wait for life to happen. So many times we get caught up in just the waiting game. You know? We get up, we go to work, we go to do this, we do that, we come back, you know, repeat, repeat, repeat. And we just get further and further away from what God wants us to do. You know, this whole time since I've been here, Satan's been in my ear saying, hey, you're in Huntington, Indiana. You're 300 or 400 miles away from home. You ain't got no business up here preaching. But like I said, you know, Seth told me I did, so. So, but don't just sit back and just let life happen. That's not what God intended for you to do. And then 1 Peter 5:8. First Peter 5:8-9. It says, be alert. Of sober mind, your enemy, the devil. Here we talk about the devil. And letting him lead. Or letting him anywhere in your thoughts. He's going to take it and run with it. But it tells us here in Peter, be alert of sober mind. That's that transforming of the mind daily. Be alert, be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But the good news, the but God moment. I love those but God moments. But God, Resist him. Resist the devil. That's what God tells us to do. It's not just some extra, like just some giant plan that this research and research. God said, resist him. Put that on me. Put that on God. Claim that. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Like I said, we got to hear that through testimonies this week. You think you're the only one going through certain situations? Absolutely not. Newsflash, you're not. Like I told our youth last night, I'm going through things. You know, there's battles every day. We could go around the room, and I guarantee you, if you'd be honest with yourself, you're dealing with something. But the beauty of that is we get to fall back, we get to give it to God, and we get to end that. And I think that's the awesome part about having faith and the action, because we get to help people. We get to help people through their problems. God's going to work out our problems. Like I told them last night, while we wait, it's some of the most important time in your life when you're praying and you're praying for things to happen and it don't happen overnight and you're getting upset, you're getting discouraged. While you wait, it's prime time to help somebody who may be going through the same thing. And then when God answers that prayer, then you're in that same situation when suffering happens. You know, I lost my mom three years ago now. And it was devastating. But that, I can relate to people. God let me go through that so I can relate to people. And I can help people. And they're going through the same thing. And so I don't shy away from that. Because that's not what God intended for me to do. So again, back, faith and action has to be on the same page. Just saying what you're going to do is not enough. Just saying it is just not enough. So what are we going to do as churches? Our church, Carson, or and Gordo, or here at New Life, what are we going to do? How can we get past that of just saying we're going to do something? You know, Brother Jimmy, Phil, they can sit down all day long and come up with 100 things to do, right? You can plan out a schedule. We can have a calendar full of things to do. But guess what? If God ain't in it, it's wasting our time. And that's what I love seeing here and get to come here and get to see that firsthand of what God's doing through you guys, through the ministry, all the things y'all got, the stories that Phil, when he takes us on tours to see what happened. It's always different every time we come here. There's always something, you know. You know, last year Jimmy told us he's got a plan to buy some stuff out here. And Phil already knows it's going to happen. Like he's like, if Jimmy said we're going to pray about it, it's going to happen. So y'all get ready. So the next few years we'll be over there helping getting that ready. Right? We're going to claim that. So we'll be back to help with that. But what we do while we wait, what are we going to do? We got to be sold out. We got to carry each other's burdens. Whenever other people are hurting, we got to hurt with them. We got to take it on. Like it's us hurt. You know? Like we say in the South, we say, bless your heart. Ain't that what we say? Bless your heart. And that's a Christian term for, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. Sorry. Times are hard, right? Bless your heart. We got to be more than that. We got to keep going. We got to push on for Christ at all costs. And that's hard. So if we're going to have faith, if we're going to claim our faith that Jesus died for us on the cross, that Jesus paid our sin debt that we didn't have to, then there has to be some action behind what we're doing and what we're saying. Because we can say all day long what we're going to do. But if we're not willing to take that next step, we're not willing to get out of our comfort zone, we're not willing to go and tell and do for others, and we're just wasting our time. So, at all cost. And if we're going to be a nation that God intended for us to be, we got to press on. We got to put things into action. Like again, we can fill up a calendar all day long. Spread the gospel. Go and tell. Go and tell your story. That's action, right? Go and tell your story. We met a guy. He came to our church several times. Kind of a youth pastor, evangelist. His name was Ken Freeman. If his story is really powerful. And every time that he would come, I think he's from Dallas. He'd come a few times, and every time he's read books and everything. And then he said, every time, he's like, I don't want to tell my story. He's like, I will get sick to my stomach before I go up on stage and tell my story. But he said, that's what God wants me to do. That's what God told me to do. We got to feel that. Like, yeah, it's going to hurt. There's going to be things that we go through that's going to hurt. There's going to be some scars. God never said he's going to take the scars away. God never said it was going to be easy. He said it was going to be worth it when we get to spend eternal life with him and his glory, not our glory. You know, as I was praying, I was getting ready, that was the first thing I said, God, get me out of the way. Speak through me. It's not me. Speak through me. So again, if we're going to press on, we're going to spread the gospel, we got to tell our story until it hurts. And if you think you don't have a testimony, you do. God saving you, Jesus coming to your heart, that's enough. That's enough to tell others. You know, my testimony is that I was a good kid. You know, my mama, I was scared to death. My mama, if I did anything, she told me if I went to a beer joint, if I did hang out with this certain group, she would come in there and pull me out by my ear. And I never tested the theory. I'm just saying. I never did. So I was a good kid, right? I stayed out of trouble. I didn't hang with the wrong crowd. I didn't do any of that. But guess what? I was lost. I was completely lost. I gave my life to Christ when I was 21 years old. Me and my wife got saved together, baptized together. It's a great thing. Has me and my wife's marriage been great since then? No, absolutely not. But we get through it. We've gotten through it. We got 4 kids. I got to bring my youngest with me this year. He's 11. Y'all can't miss him. He looks just like me, okay? He's over there. Now his face is as red as the Coke can. That's okay. Red as his shirt. But, like I said, it's okay to tell your story multiple times. Because you know what? God uses that pain. God uses that in many, many different ways. The pain of the stories, the pain in your life. He wants to use that. But you got to peel that back and let him. And so if we're going to say, if we're going to claim that God is who he said he is, because God is awesome, God is good all the time, we can claim that. But if that's all we do, we're missing the mark. Faith without action is dead. Now, is that saying we got to work our way to heaven? Absolutely not. It's not what that says. But that says you're going to walk the walk and talk the talk. There better be some fruit behind it, right? There better be some fruit of what you're doing. So if we're going to get to that point, we got to be sold out for Christ. We got to do that. Because God will use you in a mighty way. And before we close and all this, you know, I'll just tell this, you know, my wife, she lost her job not too long ago. She did, praise God, she got a new job. It took a while, but praise God, he did that, and it's closer drive than she's ever did to our house. So God worked that out. But while that was going on, she was going through a hard time, right? She wasn't talking to me much. I tried to tell her it's going to be okay. And then, you know, money situation. So then, you know, then she had had to tell me that it was going to be okay. So we're kind of back and forth. And, you know, this is my notebook that I have. And I just want to share this. Like, I got to, you know, reading and making notes. And then I come up on a lot of notes that she was writing. And I asked her if it was okay if I could read it. You know, I don't know. And so the first thing she said in her notes is, what is the thing? What if the thing that was meant to break you is the very thing God uses to make you? And I thought that was powerful, especially coming from my wife. She's not, she's definitely not going to get up here on stage and do any of this. But God changed her, you know, and God opened up eyes to her in that time when she was without a job and she had a lot of time on her hands. You know, the devil wanted to get her in a deep, dark place. And thankfully, there was ones at our church that God worked through. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make up what God does. My wife was not going to come to church one morning. She wasn't feeling well. She's like, I'm just not coming. It's like, okay, so I was going to teach our Sunday school class. And then my wife just showed up for her Sunday school class because we have a men and women class. And the lady at the church just stopped her as she was walking out because my wife was like, class, church, going home. Didn't want to talk to nobody, you know. And a lady in the church just stopped her and she said, God told me to come ask you how you're doing. And my wife just broke down. My wife don't get, she's real, she don't get close to people sometimes. And God worked that out. Because I've been praying for her hard, you know. Others have been praying for her, you know. Not just the job, but just the mental state that she was in and just, you know, to get back on track. So God will use people in a mighty way. We gotta let Him use us. We can't be timid. We gotta get out of our comfort zone. We gotta be willing to go and tell our story till it hurts sometimes. Honestly. So, faith without action is dead. So, my prayer is that if we're gonna get to that point, churches around America, anywhere, our nation, if we're gonna get back to that point of really getting down to winning the lost souls back to Christ, we got to be willing to take the next step till it hurts, till we don't maybe not like what it feels like, but we know how we produce and how the fruit. So thank y'all, and I don't know how you want to end it with Jimmy.